Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Nope, it's not alcohol. It's sparkling water.
It is.
We're a couple of healthy boys.
Healthy LA cucks we are.
Yes, we are. I just went to the gym, finally.
To the gym, you do.
Can you repeat
and
everything
muscles,
I say?
You will grow.
He's my personal trainer, man.
Yeah.
Seven reps you must do. God, you have gotten.
Yeah, no, I went to the gym for the first time this year because I got a membership for New Year's.
$39.99 a month.
And
off $10, I will, if you recommend someone and they join as well.
It's fucking Yoda's gym.
As a gym manager. As like a shitty gym manager. He manages stepdads named Jim. He needs to do a better
he's
job.
He's a personal manager for stepdads.
That's all I'm
Jim.
Saying. I'm yeah, kidding, Mom. I know you're going to listen to that and your feelings are going to be hurt.
She still listens?
Oh, yeah. She listens to every episode.
My mom does, too.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Mom. What's up?
I really wish you wouldn't listen to these.
I always
but
say
she
that to
explains
my mom.
It because I'm bad at communicating. She explains it as like I just get to hear your voice.
Exact same thing. My mom's like, well, you know, you ignore a lot of my text messages and stuff like that. So it's like,
I'm a lot worse. If your mom knew how the span of time my mom sometimes goes through because I'm a bad boy, she would be begging for the way you text her again.
I call my mom multiple times a week still.
I'm bad. I don't do that.
And I
need to do that.
I do text her here and there. Like that's the thing. I'll go through like there are some weeks where I'm busy and I just don't really talk to my parents. It's mainly I don't talk to my dad as much. Sometimes I'll go like a week or two or three without even talking to my dad on the phone at all. But he never seems to like be upset about it. I think he kind of gets it. And
yeah.
My mom though. I get it. She's all lonesome and bored. So,
yeah, my dad's the same way.
Her and my
like,
sister.
He's still like my stepmom will text me and be like, "Hey, could you please give us a call soon? It's been a while." I'm like, "Fuck," not like "fuck." I have to call him. It's like, "Fuck," I fucked up. I'm shitty.
No, same. I know. Cause if I don't respond to my sister, I don't have proof of this, but I'm pretty certain if I don't respond to my sister, she'll go and tell my mom, and my mom will be like, "He didn't respond to me either."
Your sister strikes me as a mama's girl tattletale.
Yeah, she. I'll frequently find things out.
It sounds like from what I've listened to, there are constant occasions where your sister will go to your mom about you in some way.
Oh, I'll tell my sister something and then my mom will bring it up to me and I'll be like, "What? I didn't tell you that." She's like, "Oh, it's Samantha told me." And I'm like, "Okay."
It's that sibling trust, that bond that never breaks.
Never breaks. It's never anything like serious or like
of course,
extreme.
But it's still just kind of
like little
oh.
things. It's like, "Oh, she told you that? Okay." If my sister knew the things my mom told me about her. Now that's another can of worms.
If she knew the things your mom told me about her.
What are you talking about? Are you talking to my mom regularly?
I mean, not regularly, but, you know, on occasion.
That's weird.
Okay.
Your mom actually posted on my Facebook wall recently, which I don't use anymore.
Yeah, did you see I changed my profile picture again on Facebook?
Wait, again to what?
No, it was to the me and
the
mustache.
The face app picture?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So
we have Facebook profiles, you know, from like way back in the day that we never use
back
ever
in
anymore.
Like high school. No. Yeah. I think it was still back in high school. I remember deleting Facebook after a breakup because I was like, I was the type of person back then, because you're young, you're filled with emotion. It's everything's the end of the world. And so it was my first relationship. I was in college. And so I deleted Facebook so as to like try to erase all. Sorry, I was in high school.
The bad memories.
I deleted Facebook to erase all just kind of like anything. I didn't want to see their face. I didn't want to see them liking anything.
What was his name? gotcha.
Dale.
Think you're funny?
Some of the comments say otherwise, but I generally like to think that I'm somewhat humorous
you
at
are.
Times.
You're very funny. Funnier than me.
I think you're funny too. I don't think I'm funnier than you.
I think you're way eons funnier than me.
I think you're more consistent than I am.
That's not true at all.
Mm.
I feel the exact opposite. Maybe we're both just insecure.
That's probably
and
it.
And we're both funny.
Yeah.
Or neither of us are funny. That's a possibility too.
Looks at screen as the viewers are watching. We're talking to you.
Yeah, you guys have bad taste. But what are you saying about, we're saying Facebook. So.
Well, if you continue to watch something you don't like, then you have bad taste.
Yeah,
because that means that you enjoy bad, you like watching bad stuff for some reason.
Yeah, but not in like a fun way.
No, like when we watch bad stuff, it's definitely like for funs and giggles.
But my...
Like Delta Farce.
That's not bad. I was... So, yeah, I don't use my Facebook anymore. I'll log on maybe, like, once a month just to, like, see if I have any notifications, which I do. And they're always just like, your friend you barely talked to in high school just posted for the first time in a while. Go check it out. Or, like...
It's more reminding me to stay connected than actual people doing anything.
Yeah, it's just like that. It's like, someone posted on this page you follow. And it's like, I don't care.
I liked Facebook when it was more kind of, like, a nice... close group knit of people, like friends that you've kind of garnered or like acquaintances you garnered, seeing like photos, seeing like their status. I remember statuses were a big thing. Statuses are
you post on someone's wall?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, but now it seems to be more just kind of like a Tumblr with your family.
People post videos,
I'm gonna share
it's just sharing now.
Like my grandmother shares stuff all the time.
Really?
And I sometimes I'll go and check her profile because it's always just kind of like it'll get political. And then it'll just kind of just be like a cute dog or a cat.
Your mom posted on my wall though, a video of a man being reunited with his cat after 7 years, and she said, she means so well. It's very sweet.
Everything she does is with good intentions.
And actually, I don't think I've addressed this on the podcast yet because I don't think we've recorded one since I've officially announced this.
Yeah.
Bad, sad news, guys. My good little boy, Banana, is no longer with us. Very, very rough month for me since that happened. But he disappeared at the beginning of January and never came home. So that's all I really got to say about that.
He was chasing the big
mice and
red
sky.
Laser in the sky.
And the thing is, I know, but there is a possibility he isn't dead, but it's been about 2 months now and he hasn't come home and it's coyote season.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, you know, make assumptions, but I think it's safe to say that, you know, that book is closed.
And if it reopens, it does. But for now, it's closed.
Yeah, I just can't. I need like closure for myself. So yeah. I had to, you know. I don't want to keep talking about this, though. It's gonna make me choke up like a little bitch.
Yeah, I was getting kind of nervous. I was like, oh no, he's gonna start getting emotional.
He's gonna start crying. It's gonna be awkward.
But dude, I hope this experience, like, it doesn't. I hope you're not afraid to adopt cats in the future.
Absolutely,
because it's very important. Like, there's a lot of cats that need a home, and Banana, like. Was a very fat, well-fed dude, and he wouldn't have
started out as a little stray in Culver City,
and he wouldn't have been that way if like he wasn't adopted. So it's like I always think like you know
he was
sometimes,
an asshole.
Yes, like he was
but
definitely
he was
an
my
asshole.
Exactly. You know, he was our asshole for a while when we lived together.
He did put up with Uncle Ryan quite a bit.
until the bitter end.
Yeah.
Because the last time I tried to pick him up, he got really mad.
He got real mad. Yeah.
He got.
You were like, hey, buddy, remember me? You picked him up, and he was not happy.
Because usually I could go pet him or something, but he tenses up and like gets his neck.
He didn't like visitors that much.
But he never hissed at me randomly.
Yeah. Hissed at Tucker a lot. He hated Tucker.
Yeah. Well, for good reason. Tucker would
antagonize him a lot.
Yeah.
But Banana had a wonderful life. Very fantastic life, and I'm very happy that I was able to give him a very happy life. Well-fed, spoiled, sweet little life. And,
big old fat boy.
And you know what? If he is still alive, I hope wherever he is, he's happy. Maybe some other family just I don't think so. I don't think anyone would be able to get Banana.
He's probably chilling on his throne. And on top of a thing of garbage.
You know, I'm going to look real stupid if one day he just walks back through the cat door like 3 months from now. And I'm going to have to be like, guys, Banana's actually not dead. Honestly, I would love that.
Except he has a great set of tits now.
A beautiful set of tits. Yeah, he had beautiful implants put on. But I would definitely, you know, I want that. But
of course.
It's hard to keep hoping
for that. It's always the whole when you lose someone, you... Even with pets, with friends, regardless, it's like when you lose something, you yearn for that feeling of either coming home to them because it feels a little more full, or
it's lonesome at night.
Just their presence, just like, you know, you hear it's a stereotype at this point, right? Where it's like, I just always like look at the door and it's like, I could see them walking right through.
Well, that's how I feel, because I'd always hear them come through the cat door.
Yeah.
And I'll be in the kitchen like late at night by myself and I'll look at the cat door and I'm like, fuck, I just want to hear it open. I just want to see him come through. But it's that's life, I guess, is what it is. And I'm very thankful for all the time I got with him. And I'm thankful for everyone that did beautiful fan art throughout the years and sent him gifts. He loved everything and played with everything you guys sent. And I'm really appreciative that he got a life that so many people could watch and enjoy. And I guess that's all I got to say about that. Rest in peace, buddy.
You can still go see his cute fucking face.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad that it's documented. We can go.
And us slamming him into a door on in a vlog.
Yeah. You put him in a bag and slamming him against a wall.
Yeah.
That's not real, guys, for the people that...
Shh, no. Don't break the
illusion. But yeah, let me get back to Facebook, what I was saying. Is Facebook... I really want to delete my Facebook, but they kind of... Got me with that thing where it's like, now you use Facebook to sign into a lot of really
it's connected
random
to a
things.
Bunch of bullshit accounts where it's like, I don't want to put my email with this or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's easy just to click sign in Facebook. I'm pretty sure my Spotify's through Facebook. I'm like, I just don't want Facebook anymore. And I don't use it, but I remember like some viewers went through once and just like got all my old like pictures from middle school and high school and like posted them. And I was like, come
back
on.
Back before you privated your
page. And I was like, don't be uncool. Just
that was an interesting turn.
Just let me live my life.
Where I felt like I had to turn my Facebook private.
Yeah.
It was of course immediately kind of I think after I met Mark, but it's like a very stark difference. Like before, it's just no one gave a shit. No one was searching for me unless I went to school with them or something.
Yeah.
And then when you enter the scope of YouTube, people tend to latch themselves on to some of the stuff that you don't understand. One of that stuff is I still I don't know if you have it, but I still am just kind of like, oh wow, people like the content or that I make, regardless of it.
No,
it's a podcast
me.
Or a sketch.
I'll have, you know, like those classic moments where you're laying awake in the middle of the night and your brain for some reason always wants to go to anxiety thoughts. It's always like, I just get this guilt where I'm like, why the fuck do people watch me? Like, I don't find myself funny. There's so many other talented people out there that are funny.
Well, it comes down to like, I wouldn't watch me.
And I compare myself to all these other creators I know that are like legitimately funny. And I'm like, fuck, well, like, why are people following me? Like, I don't deserve this. And it's not going to last. It's going to go away because people are going to realize I'm not funny.
Well, you're right. Like, one day that will come.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's inevitable. And I think that's going into it, that's something we've always known, is like, you know, one day we won't be relevant anymore. That's okay, because in a way that
y'all are relevant now.
that's not bad, I think, becoming irrelevant.
No,
because there will be a day, I guess one day, where we return to kind of like...
We're also not in the general sphere of people's knowledge, I think. I don't think the average person knows our names, our existence, or anything like that.
Yeah, not the old average Joe. But a lot of people
your average
our
Joe
age online...
knows who Jacksepticeye is.
Yeah, of course, dude. And
maybe. I don't know.
He was on a... Dude, your average Joe knows Markiplier. He was on Larry King.
He was
multiple times. He was on Seth Meyers.
It's because I know these people where I can't put myself in the mind of kind of like a stranger to them in the general public.
Yeah, yeah. Like when I see Finn Wolfhard in a movie trailer, it's like weird, you know?
I was gonna go see a movie. No, I was seeing a movie and I was about to go into theater and you know you're about to turn your cell phone off and shit. And I got a text from him and he's like, "Hey man, do you want to play Call of Duty?" And I was just kind of like, I just had to wrap my head around it just because it's such a weird thing that like I know all of these people who are successful in their own right. And they're so just kind of like closely knit through YouTube. Like Finn does do live streams with his brother sometimes, but like he generally is known for from Netflix and film.
Yeah, I mean, like,
intersects into YouTube is still just crazy because it never works out predictably. For example, like Lily Singh, she did a talk show and I don't feel like it's gotten a lot of critical acclaim.
She did a talk show?
She has one.
I
think it might have been renewed for season 2. They put her in the graveyard time slot too, just because she's a new show. They don't even film in the NBC studio. They film in like a separate thing.
Her garage.
Probably.
It's like a set.
I think it's near where BuzzFeed is filmed.
Is BuzzFeed in Hollywood?
I think so.
I've driven past their office before. It's like a glass box. You can just see inside, like all the people at their desks. And I'm like, wow, all those people are just writing nonsense right now.
Well, it's like you see kind of certain YouTubers being accepted by the general public. And then I'm like, oh, YouTubers are being accepted by the general public. But then when they step out into what has been dictated as a certain type of mainstream medium, like her live show, it's still... Or her live show, her talk show.
Late night show, yeah.
It just fails. It like falls flat on
That's really
head.
Interesting to me, yeah. How I think that...
Could also be because of the quality and all that.
Because I feel confident enough, in our abilities at least, that I think if you and I made something beyond YouTube, whether it was a pilot or something, we would be able to break free from the like, oh, YouTubers make a TV pilot. Because from our start... You know,
I just make something I was happy with.
Exactly. I don't want to make something that makes money. I don't want to make some. Well, I mean, of course, I want to make something that makes money, but that's not my main. My main thing is I want something that I can feel creatively.
I
want to
say at one point I stepped out and I did this thing, and regardless of the critic acclaim, I guess I did it.
Like I don't want.
And
to
that's an achievement in and of itself.
Yes,
but I would still care about the quality of the product. Like, it's not just to say that I created a TV show at the same time, but I think it's an important project sometimes that, let me rephrase that. It's important sometimes to take on these projects because like with you, with music videos, you put yourself out of your comfort zone where you normally have more, you're working with people that you're familiar with me, with people that you don't have to really, I guess, kind of impress in a way. But when you're doing music videos, it is definitely a hangout session, but you also have more of, I feel like when you're directing, you have more of a, like, there's more going on in your mind. You have to keep track of more stuff because you're keeping track of like the actors that you hired to come. You're thinking of,
it's stressful.
The talent itself. You're thinking of the choreography. You're thinking of, the cameraman.
And I'm still so new to it.
It's like everyone has to be pleased. Whereas if you and I are just shooting a sketch, you and I just have to be in a good mood.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, directing music videos is really fun, and creatively fulfilling for sure, but it's stressful.
And also the back end of creating music videos can be
so much fucking work has to go into it. And I have several still that aren't out yet for clearances with like Sony and stuff. It's a whole thing. A lot of shit has to go on behind the scenes. You can't just make a music video and drop it. You have to talk to lawyers and agents and stuff like that. This has to be here. Is this okay? But like stuff like that. So that's why there hasn't been that much stuff on Lazy Eye, but there's more coming.
But still, go check it out. Lazy Eye on Instagram, Twitter,
LazyEye.com,
and YouTube.
And at Lazy Eye on everything, yeah. It's in the sidebar on our
channel. It's also in your bio, I think, right?
Yeah, it's in my bio.
Yeah.
I do that with those Tucker boys. But I feel like what's most important to me in creating something is, because I'll break it down to an even like deeper level. People want money because money brings you happiness, right? Mm-hmm. Or that's the
general thought.
That's the general thought about money. So it's like, if we're going to make a TV show and it makes lots of money, that would bring us happiness. What brings me a bigger happiness than money is making something that I feel really passionately proud about. Like, this is good. And that brings me a lot more happiness than money would. So I think that when I make something, it's more important to achieve that feeling than achieve like, oh, it's making a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know,
like, well,
of course, money's nice. Everyone loves money, but
like, not even a, like, personal accomplishments is like, because the music video thing, it is big in scope and it's a lot to pull off. And people might be like, well, I couldn't step out. It's something as small. It can be something as small as getting a new hobby. There's so many different levels, but I think it's important for you to find, I guess, what personally fulfills you. Because otherwise you'll just kind of be in that 9-to-5 headspace. Well, with regardless to whether you're working a 9-to-5 job, you start to, your days start to progress in more of a spin. They progress in kind of like this fog where, because you're doing all these actions over and over again, waking up at the same time, going to the same place, doing the same things over and over again.
I feel like it's a good catalyst for depression.
Yeah. I mean, it I feel like that makes time go by faster, because you're just, at least for me it does, if I'm ever in that fog.
Because things do blur together. Days begin to just kind of blur together. Yep. And so, that's why it's important to get hobbies and stuff. You know?
Well, that's why, like, it's...
Everyone needs hobbies.
Yeah. Even more than hobbies. Like, if you have a passion, go after it. You know, maybe not give up everything in pursuit of it, because you have to judge life as it's handed to you. But if you have a passion, work on it from afar. Do stuff that, like, if you have a passion for acting, like, fucking join a, like, go into, like, a, there's a small theater group probably nearby that you could try to join.
Yeah.
And usually those people, regardless of the hierarchies that are a part of every group, there are, like, friendships to make, and there are, like, bonds to have.
I guess a way I would look at it is, at the end of your life, looking back, if you were asked, did you do, like, all of the stuff that you wanted to do and could have done? I have a very specific vision of myself in my head of what's the best version of how I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, I want to be able to, at the end of my life, look back and be like, I at least partially achieved that, you know? So it's like, think about the person you want to be and then just make small steps to do that, because you will be happier. It's just, it's not easy, you know, and life gets in the way, but you got to try. You got to try a little bit.
And don't put yourself down if you are in a creative rut or just in a down rut, because it always passes, but if you start owning the mentality that this is all life can be, you're gonna not really see the cracks that
put
you can break
box.
Through
yeah.
to be happier, you know, whatever. Like, so one of those things for me that I know is obvious is smoking. It's like, that is something that I see it would make me happier if I quit and all this other stuff. And it's just kind of like, I just need to get there. And I struggle with it all the time.
Yeah.
But I as long as I can still, like, see it, like, oh, I, as long as I can still have, like, days where I'll, like, go without them and I'll be proud of myself a little bit, yeah. I'm still working.
Small steps, man.
In terms of whatever, but
yeah,
these lungs still fill with ash, baby.
Ooh, yeah. Just pat you on the back. That would be terrifying. You know what would convince, I actually think would convince you to stop smoking, what we should do?
Go take pictures of my lungs.
Let's go. We should go to a lung doctor and have them
well,
do an X-ray.
Well, I told Justin that the next time I win a solo victory royale in Fortnite, I will quit smoking.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you go to the doctor with me to get X-rays taken?
Sure.
Would you really?
I don't know what it has to do with Fortnite, but okay.
No, I like to see your lungs.
Oh, yeah, I would.
Would you?
Yeah.
I think that might. That's probably definitely a big kick in the pants to quit, I would imagine. You'd be like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I need to. I'm fucking almost.
That's the thing about smoking is you can't see the damage it's doing. You know,
you can only feel the wonderful tingles that it creates.
The wonderful tingles of nicotine. Nicotine's addictive as fuck, man.
Yeah, it is, baby.
I was hard on that fucking Juul. You remember how much I Juuled?
Oh yeah.
And it made me break out in acne. It gave me horrible, dude. When I would drop it and then pick it up again, and then drop it and then pick it up again, the habit, not the actual Juul. I remember I would notice, because I would go long periods of time without nicotine, like a couple weeks without Juuling, and then I'd do it heavy for a couple weeks. And I always noticed immediately after starting again, my general anxiety, like, you know, the type of anxiety that feels like a buzz in your stomach and you're trying to figure out why you're anxious. Like, you're like, there's gotta be some reason I'm anxious, like something that's in my mind.
It's like a very fast fluttering of the heart and you feel weak. You're just like, why do I feel?
And you don't feel happy.
You feel like you're just like on the precipice of about to go down on a, you're not taking the plunge on a roller coaster, but it's the precipice of like, oh, you know, something's coming, but you don't know what
that thing
is. It's like
an impending doom feeling.
Yeah.
And I noticed that when I would do nicotine, that would just suddenly be so horrible all day, every day. And then when I quit, that would go away. So quitting nicotine was really good for my, and I did, I remember, of course, because we had that podcast episode called We Quit Smoking way back in the day. And we did.
We did.
But then, of course,
for a bit.
I know exactly what happened. The first downfall was we were like, oh, when we go to Japan,
oh, it was, you
know,
Japan.
We're on vacation. We can, you know, we can smoke cigarettes on vacation because it's vacation. And then, of course,
Japan was the downfall.
It was the downfall because it's like, I remember we got back and you're like, whoa, you know, I still got half a pack. I'm just going to finish this pack. And then,
you know, oh, this pack's almost done. Just one more pack. Yep. One more so I can have one last full pack in LA. And then I have that and I'm like, oh, it's Thursday. How about I quit on Monday?
Yeah, it's like,
and
I'll start the week fresh.
Yep. And then it gets to Monday. Like you get through
things.
Monday and then you come to Tuesday and you're like, oh, I'm starting, I haven't smoked. I'm great. Things are good. And all of a sudden you'll just kind of eat a lot and you'll be like, oh, someone smokes on a movie screen. You'll be like,
that was a big one for me was I found myself like subconsciously, if I'm watching a movie and I have my Juul, when someone would be smoking, I'd suddenly be like, oh, I'm hating this without even thinking about it. And Juuling, I definitely, you know,
you're
I
free of nicotine now.
I am fully free of nicotine now. I have not Juuled. I can't remember the last time I Juuled or did nicotine. And it feels great. I have more energy throughout the day.
Yeah.
And it's easier to wake up. But I mean, the last time I Juuled was Christmas. My brother-in-law had a Juul and I ripped it. And I took a picture on a moped where I was ripping it and people didn't like that. They're like, he's lying to us. He's Juuling again.
Well, but I think some people miss like, of course, like not everyone's going to watch every video we do. So when we say that we quit and all of a sudden it's like, we're just doing it again.
Yeah.
They don't get the in between of like some of the podcasts where like, fuck, I'm back.
And
on
it is a struggle. It's an addiction. So yep. We're only human. We're
still no excuse to be a little bitch and keep smoking though.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm talking to myself and anyone who smokes, motherfuckers.
Well, I love reading comments from people saying that like, I think a big motivation is, you know, seeing comments from people that say like, you guys inspired me to quit smoking.
Some people,
years.
Yeah, I know. And I hate that. And I feel bad. I feel guilty because like they made that move.
Because
I started
and then you kept
move.
Smoking.
Yeah.
I mean, use that as motivation. Like, you know, like I think that's a great motivator. Like,
and I think that Fortnite dub is the better motivator.
Yeah, that's the best. Not the picture of your lungs, the Fortnite dub.
Yeah.
You know what's an even better
motivator? I made Justin the Fortnite promise.
That dude, if you made Justin the Fortnite promise,
I can't go back
on
that.
You can't break
promise. Here's the thing though. You know what that means? I'm quitting like probably within a month. Right?
Here's the thing, man.
Because I'm gonna get that dub.
You will. And the truth about addiction is if you tell yourself, oh, I'm going to quit on this date, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
You have to quit immediately.
The moment I get that dub.
There's no better moment to quit than right now. It's like, you have to just be like, nope, no, I'm throwing the rest of the cigarettes away. That's it. I'm done. And then just go from there. Because you're never going to be ready. If you're addicted to something, you're never going to be ready to not be addicted.
Can you imagine me? I'm in second place and I'm like, fuck. And all of a sudden I'm like, I just like, just drop the controller on the ground. I'm like, oops.
Ah, man, that was stressful. I need a cigarette.
I almost got one. So stressful. I guess another cigarette will calm me.
You don't have to answer this. How many do you smoke a day on average?
Let me think.
Like, are you like a pack a day or half a pack a day?
I'd say honestly anywhere between 5 and 10.
5 and 10 cigarettes?
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's like a fourth to half a pack a day.
Yep.
My grandpa, who I never met because he passed away before I was born, but he started smoking at like 12, and he smoked his whole life, and I think he would smoke like 3 packs a day. That's 60 cigarettes a day. He'd wake up.
That sounds gross to me.
He's one of the types of people that, you know, because
I don't necessarily enjoy smoking a cigarette. I mean, there are things that I like about it, but like every time I'm smoking, I do kind of like get this kind of like gagginess to me.
Cigarettes
like,
are disgusting. They taste awful, man.
And some people smell, tell me, and you feel and smell gross afterwards.
I know
too.
Somebody that smokes cigarettes, but they don't inhale it. They just have it in their mouth like a cigar, and they're like, "I just like the taste."
That's
I'm like,
disgusting.
"No, you don't."
Disgusting.
That's disgusting. I feel like they do it because it looks cool. Like you don't want to. I mean, smoking a cigarette looks pretty cool, right? Like,
yeah, but smokers know when someone's not inhaling.
Well, okay,
you know what I mean. Like now,
I used to smoke cigarettes with him, and you know, I was like, I would inhale, and then only later I find out he didn't inhale, and I was like, so I've been the only one smoking this whole time, actually, and like giving myself a worse nicotine addiction.
You can tell when someone, because like in movies, like if someone's not a smoker and they don't want to smoke, it's in an old Louis episode.
You can see the cloud is different if they inhale it.
In a Louis episode, someone's smoking, she's just going. Essentially, it's just.
What I hate.
Because I don't feel like when people smoke, they don't have enough time to just like put it in their lungs and then blow it out like that. You can tell when someone's like actually like.
You know what I hate? This talk is making me want a cigarette.
Too bad. You're not having any.
No, I know. I'm not. And if it made anyone else want a cigarette.
Sorry.
We're not. Don't do it. We're not doing it.
Please don't.
Do it. Here's what I was told this once about addiction. And this is really, I think, a really great way to frame it. Let's say you quit smoking and you really, really fucking want a cigarette so bad. And you're fighting that urge. And you know it will pass. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Every time that urge happens and you fight it off, that was some of the addiction leaving you, you know, because
yeah.
Like you won, you beat it. You beat that little chunk of the addiction, you know, clawing at your back. And once you get past that, it's like, all right, it's never going to be, it's not, next one won't be as bad because that was part of that addiction leaving my body.
Yeah.
And I won. I mentally progressed in my healing path of addiction, you know, and that goes for all addictions, not just like, you know, porn, alcohol, drugs.
Porn epic.
Porn is epic.
Naked people are nice.
We're the only species that watches videos of...
We're the only species that can make videos.
We're the only species that watches others have sex for our own
We're the
pleasure.
Only species that watches videos.
Remember we're the only species Think that watches YouTube? It's crazy.
Mind blown.
Porn is a really
Just like y'all's
thing.
Minds will be... stop about pornography.
Oh,
Just
sorry.
Like y'all's minds will be blown
by
these
ad reads.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Woo! Oh my God. That didn't smell like anything at all.
Yep. Can you believe it?
How can that be, Matt?
Ryan, there's an amazing new supplement. It's a little pill you can take, and it won't make your farts smell like anything. They'll just smell like neutral air.
No, I can't believe it. Come on, give me another one.
Yeah, sniff that shit.
Nothing.
Yep.
One more. Holy shit.
Yep.
Now, this has to cost a fortune, right?
Actually, Ryan, it's Toot Zero, the newest supplement on the market. 60 pills in one bottle for only $14.99.
For only $14.99?
$14.99.
And if you put in code SUPERMEGAFARTS, you'll get 60% off your first order.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. So go to tootzero.com/supermegafarts and go get yourselves a bottle of these pills. There are some side effects that we... legally you're not allowed to mention on the podcast, but you can do the research yourself. They're not good, but
so please remember, use code SUPERMEGAFARTS at tootzero.com.
That was so stupid.
So hey guys, so if that was any indication, fuck the serious parts of this podcast. It's goofy time.
Hey, classics, you're mega fashion. Talk about some real deep serious shit and then immediately go straight into talking about farts and funny poo-poo.
It's, you know? Great. It's our staple.
That's our style, man. That is our style. That's our staple, right?
Yeah.
That's what you just said and I just repeated it.
It's okay.
Your hair looks wild right now, dude.
Because I took my hat off.
Your hair's looking great, man.
It's getting long, so I have to... It's getting in that awkward stage of... It's not long, but it's getting... It's growing.
Yeah.
It's getting in that stage where I have to wear hats and beanies or else I look like a fucking doofus from medieval times.
I am so, I love that was an era of Super Mega, the bald era, where we both fully shaved
our
heads.
Very short period of time.
Very short period of time. But for everyone that got to be a part of that and why, like, you're witnessing an era right now that we'll all look back on one day where we shaved our heads and
both of us shaved our
heads. Houston, right?
Yeah,
Houston. We shaved them bald on stage.
The second show?
First show.
Oh yeah. Never mind.
Because we were like, God damn, why didn't we do that for the last show of the tour? And then the rest of the tour, we're fucking bald as shit. And think about it. These people that buy a meet and greet ticket because they're so excited to like finally meet us and take a picture, and they didn't see the news and they just see these two bald fucks. And we looked bad bald. I like at the time I rationalized it to myself, but I go back, I look at the pictures and I'm like, Jesus Christ, you looked all right. I got mine
cleaned up at a Sports Clips nearby.
I didn't. I
was just like, I have to get it even because if I'm gonna start growing it out, I just gotta.
Jackson's cousin shaved my head.
Yes.
After the last show, you had to have it shaved again. Yeah, after the last show. But the worst part was there was one little part in the front that she kind of missed. So it grew. So I had to try to shave myself, but then it was uneven. But our hair's back now. Like I could say our hair is fully normal.
Oh yeah.
Like my, it's not as long as it was before. Cause remember I swoop it over and then it comes down. I'm gonna have to grow it a little longer for that. But I would say that both of us, our hair is back to a normal length.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine's
nice.
Definitely. I mean, my hair's, you typically, I'd say for the most part in the beginning of Super Mega, at least, been shorter than it is now.
Yeah. And I've definitely had shorter hair too. I'm trying to like just let my hair kind of just grow out and get messy.
Same.
Like that's a good
same
style.
Baby.
I used to really care about like doing it up just right, but it's, fuck, I just let it do what it does.
It's the I don't care look. Except for me, it's the hat head look.
You always think your hair looks bad when it really doesn't.
Thanks, man.
Your hair is just it has so much volume, dude.
Really?
Yes. Your hair, Ryan. You've seen my thin ass hair, bro.
I like it. It's nice.
Oh, thank you.
Looks very soft and nice to the touch.
It is very soft. I think that shaving my head was actually good because I've noticed my hair has come back more full than it was. I don't know why, but my hair grew back like fuller, a little bit thicker, and actually a little bit darker. I think it's darker than it used to be.
It looks darker.
And it just feels healthier when I run my hand through it.
You did like bleach your hair essentially. One time and it was just lighter for a long time.
Yeah. And actually in a way it felt good to just kind of like reset my head and fully, if I had known, I mean, we reset our heads, bro. If I had known that it would take 4 months to grow back to a decent state, I probably wouldn't have done it, but you know what? I was in solidarity with my bro. That clip's online. If you guys want to go find it, someone filmed it and posted it. It was wild. It's when we shaved our heads on stage. Actually, if we have the audio, hold on a second. I would like to, I want to put some live shows on Patreon because I just found the files. And if we have the one for Houston, I'll can cut that up and put it on Patreon with the intro and everything. What I'm most excited about for putting the live shows on Patreon is everyone on there can see the actual intro that we, and all the videos that we worked so hard on for the show. Because the Texas tour was definitely the most cohesive because we had like a lot of bits that were recurring throughout. Is everything okay?
If that was completely unexpected, then I just knocked off a piece on the Super Mega 2020 bingo set.
What?
I don't know. This thing on our subreddit.
The bingo?
Yeah.
Did you just knock one off?
Maybe. It says something completely unexpected. So if the person who made the bingo board was expecting a fart, then I guess they can't knock it off.
Well, also, like, you got me because you were looking at your phone and you looked really tense.
I think for that they wanted, like, something grand, like something, oh, something that we're
not expecting. A movie?
But
That counts.
I think it counts.
I'm making, as co-founder of Super Mega, that I'm making the executive decision that counts to the bingo board. We've actually been hitting that bingo board real hard, not even intentionally. What?
This also says, I want to see if we can knock off another one.
Somebody made a bingo board on the Super Mega subreddit for 2020, and we've just been kind of knocking pieces off.
I know.
There's some on there I don't think are going to happen at all this year, though. Maybe.
Ryan or Matt get nude for some reason. Haven't we been nude again or not completely nude this year?
Not fully nude in a video. But
if we do it on the podcast, does it count?
No. They're like.
Well, I'm still thinking that's something completely unexpected. What I did like 2 minutes ago.
Well, you scared me. I thought something was wrong because you were looking very like stern at your phone and then you slowly looked up at me. And I was like, what? What's wrong? That's why I asked. I was like, is everything okay?
Yeah, well, I think that's all we can knock off here. But.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought I'd cheat.
Also, Drunk Drawing and Mailroom have made a return.
Back in action, baby.
And
Drunk Drawing is, I think, the format that we've always wanted it. But we just, you just workshop it until you finally get the right one. This one feels
a lot more fun.
Because at the same time as we're having fun, we're also paying, in a weird way, homage to the culture or to whatever we're doing around that subject. So like with Fortnite, you know, we edit it in a way. This is going to be I would like that to kind of keep going where we kind of, you know, pay tribute to whatever we're doing, regardless of if we actually like it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And like, I love the new format, like the segment with Jack making his drinks.
That's perfect. Yeah. It's all
and every episode he's going to make themed drinks for us.
And if you're a Patreon member, he posts the full recipe with like a cute little recipe card on the Patreon.
We got an artist to do like a nice drawing of each drink.
As well as for each Drunk Drawing, there's always going to be, I think, 3 Patreon exclusives. The recipe card.
So you can make the drink at home.
So you can make the drink
the
at
full
home.
Full res versions of the drawings.
And an extra drawing.
An extra clip. After the episode ends, we go and we do an additional drawing for Patreon.
Yeah.
And because it's Patreon, we can, you know, we don't really have to worry about censoring ourselves too much. And we can, the last one.
You got nervous for the drawing of this one because you didn't want to step on anyone's toes.
I did. I
You didn't want to make
Jackson.
You didn't want to make a Fortnite man mad.
A certain somebody associated with Fortnite, Jackson gave him a lot of acne, and I might have removed it.
people are gonna be upset. Release the full version. You censored it.
And then it's gonna be a huge deal when I release it, and then he's gonna see it and be like, "What the fuck?" And then block me.
I don't. People can't post our content from Patreon.
Yeah, that's true. Ninja would have to pay $5. $5 ain't nothing to Ninja. Also, but we do it. We do an extra clip, usually like 5 to 10 minutes of a bonus drawing that we all work together on.
We also recently just put out the new Q&A video.
Yeah, new Q&A video on Patreon. And I had an idea I wanted to run by you actually for future Mailroom videos. And I'm sure people will love this is because, you know, when we're making our videos are very fast paced and cut up and we get a lot of mail that doesn't make it in the videos. And that's because, you know, we're trying to be goofy.
Oh, and something
comedians.
I want to say, like, I feel bad because we touched up this mail video. It was edited by Prezzo. So like he doesn't kind of.
this isn't a mistake on Prezzo's part at all. It's just either we didn't say or it's not in the video. We didn't thank the people who sent us Tim's or
really
we said thank you, but we didn't like address them directly.
Oh, fuck.
But
thank you.
If you sent us Tim's
fucking because that's expensive.
I know
it might have just gotten cut out.
We finally got the Tim's.
Yeah, and we have a lot of mail sitting right now for we're going to do another mail video next week. We're trying to actually get mail videos out like very frequently because we used to just do it like every other month. But now that we're currently building a more permanent mailroom set because right now we're filming in the recording room. But we have a lot of stuff on the way to build like a nicer set. And my idea for the mailroom thing is because we don't show a lot of the stuff we get because like people will send in like a little doodle of us or something. And if we put all of that in, it would be too long of a video. And people for the mailrooms, they're crazy. So people usually just want to see like the insane stuff we get.
Well, but like, I feel bad not including that. And you have to cut it down to make it a cohesive like video.
But I feel bad not including that stuff because we genuinely appreciate it. So I was thinking at the end of every mailroom, we can do like a little thing where it's like a special thanks and we can show like all the fan art we got, mm-hmm. all the like smaller things that didn't make it into like the bit.
Like a little slideshow. It's like,
yeah, like with some music and like a special thanks and like thanking everyone that sent. It's like, check out like the other stuff we got.
Yeah. But, honestly, I'm going to tell Matt a secret real quick. Well, Matt knows my secret now, so...
That's a hefty secret, man.
Yeah.
I can't believe you have not told me that before.
Well, now you know.
I do know, and it's... Honestly, I kind of wish you hadn't told me that, because it does change my view of you.
Sorry, not sorry.
And the fact that you're not sorry about it is what's, I think, most alarming.
Cry about it.
I might, actually. This is very disturbing to find something out about my best friend like that.
Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo.
And the fact that you're treating this as some sort of joke... Stop. Stop doing the...
He's what doing, am I doing? What am I doing?
He's doing a baby crying motion. But
what is
you guys
that? What does that even
it.
Look like?
It's... You're good, like, wah, wah.
What does that motion
stuck,
even look
stuck
like?
Stuck your bottom lip out. Yeah, you're doing it right now. Stop. And he's pretending to cry like a little baby. Don't do that, man.
Maybe you're just looking in the mirror.
Oh, fucking hell, man. When's it going to stop? When's it going to fucking stop? Who's calling me? I'm getting a call
your
from...
sister?
Malibu, California. I'm going to answer this. Sorry, guys. I was... call about I have AIDS. That's basically just to put it in layman's terms. Not a big deal though.
Not anymore. It's perfectly treatable now.
Yeah.
There's no reason anyone should be terrified of the disease.
No one should be scared of AIDS.
But you should definitely be upset if someone doesn't tell you they have it and you have relations.
Why?
With them.
Why?
Because it's fucked up. It's like if you
But if it's perfectly treatable, like then why does it matter?
Like if you have an STD, like well, like gonorrhea is treatable, but I just want to let you go
get checked. That's all. I just want to.
Oh, okay.
Just because some of the gags we do on Super Mega might have transmitted the AIDS.
From your mouth?
You know what gags I'm talking about.
Oh.
The ones that did.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yes. You don't have to fucking. Yes. Thank you.
Good check, though. Yeah, well, I've been having a nice little week. I saw Chapo Trap House live last night. Very, very funny fellas. They're the Patreon kings. I think they have the top Patreon out there.
I've just been trying to knock movies down on my watch list.
Yeah,
recently.
You've been watching hella movies, man.
Yeah.
What are you at on a Letterboxd? Go check out Ryan's Letterboxd account. He reviews every fucking movie he's ever seen.
Well, I've tried to collect all the movies I've ever seen. There's some, of course, that I'm missing because they either have escaped my mind
Osmosis
or I need
Jones?
To go through a list and find it. It's on there.
Damn. Okay.
I tried to rate every movie to my recollection of like what I thought of it at the time. And the thing is, those ratings can change if I rewatch it and my opinion changes type of thing. But I started a little diary because I thought it would be nice starting in 2020.
A little diary? What are you, a five-year-old
well,
girl?
It's called a diary in the app, and you can keep track of all the movies
you've
seen.
Right by the boys you have crushes
all the
on?
Movies you've seen throughout the year, and I thought it was pretty nice that I can look back and say that I saw a double feature of 1917 and Delta Farce on the 1st of January with my friend Matt.
That is very sweet. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been mean about that. But I want to play a game. Okay, first of all, when I saw... that you had done that many movies, I was astonished. I was like,
because I want to keep track of everything I've ever watched, and then have a long list. Like for this is the ratings. The ratings are for me personally.
Yeah, and if I was at gunpoint and someone gave me a pen and paper and was like, write down, a thousand.
You go through all the lists that you like the, you can make lists and just go through it. And that's how I added a lot of the movies. I'm like, I remember that. I watched that.
So you didn't just like think of each movie off the top.
No.
Okay. That's what I thought you did. And I was like, you're a machine, dude.
No.
So I can, can I name a movie and see if it's on there?
Okay, sure.
Rugrats in Paris.
Hold on. Rugrats in Paris. It is on there.
So you already reviewed it.
Yeah. Well, I rated it. Yes.
You rated it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. I'm gonna give you a real obscure one. Okay. Okay. Hold on, let me think. Did you ever watch Meet Dave, the Eddie Murphy movie where there's a bunch of little...
No. Damn it. I saw bits
Norbit,
and pieces.
Is Norbit on there?
Of course Norbit's on there.
Good, good. What'd you give Norbit?
You're not going to like what I gave Norbit.
Hey, it's your opinion.
I gave it a star. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like, when I rate something even half a star to a star, like, that doesn't mean that I can't... I personally enjoy sometimes, like, really shitty movies... But, like, I would never recommend these. Like, I wouldn't recommend to the average person, like, it being realistic. Like, I think Delta Farce is hilarious, but I think it's because of the environment I grew up with, and it's also because of our humor. We connect with it because it's just stupid funny. Not that we actually think the comedy's funny, but we think that...
The gay panic comedy's really funny.
Yes, it's hilarious. But, like, I would never recommend that to, like, my friends to be like, oh my god, dude, you should watch Delta Farce. It's actually pretty funny, dude. Like, I wouldn't do that. I enjoy it in my own right.
That's a movie where you get high with your friends and watch it because of how bad it is. That's not like a legitimate. When you saw it in theaters too, right?
Oh yeah.
Fuck.
And people,
I love that you saw that in theater. Wasn't it for your birthday?
Yeah, I think so. I think my dad took me for my birthday.
You always every time, like,
Sharkboy and Lava Girl. I saw for my birthday.
I saw
Click for my birthday.
I saw it in theaters and my dad fell asleep. I remember looking over. He's asleep with his little cardboard 3D glasses on.
Yeah, but if y'all want to follow my letterbox, it's just Eli Rye, same as my Twitter handle, Eli Rye McGee. And yeah, I mean, the only thing I will preface is that I first, like, the way I rate things are more for me personally, so I can keep track of movies that stood out to me and that I would, like, go back and watch or that I really enjoy. I guess that's what everyone's personal rating is. So 2 is not a horrible score. Neither is three.
I'm actually curious about this.
Okay.
Because I saw how you were rating movies, and I had some discussion with Jackson in the car about your rating system.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think most people would be like, 2 stars is a really bad score.
Mm-mm.
Can you explain your rating system?
So my rating system is like anything like just kind of like mediocre or bad, I will give.
So you're very sparing with 5s, though.
I will give, yes. Okay. I will give like a 1 or a half star. Like, half star is essentially like, I would not recommend this at all. And 1 star is like.
Can you give 0 stars?
No. Otherwise.
So half is.
Half is the worst. But, and then 2 stars, like, there are more positives than negatives, you know, in this movie. But for me, I didn't gel with it. And so, like, I wasn't like excited or I wasn't like, totally entranced by the experience.
So 3 stars is pretty good then.
Then three is like a lot of, like, 3 are movies that I, once you hit 3, that's like a definite recommendation. I would recommend someone watch that because I enjoyed it or I thought it was good technically and that meant more to me than, like, I don't know. It's just, and then 4 are like great movies to me, like really great movies that stood out. And then 5s are just kind of like my personal bag of, I could watch this over and over
and over again.
I think they're, and I also think they're amazing. And they're not in any way a guilty pleasure.
I agreed with almost all your 5s, I think. I remember I was out at dinner and I was looking through your letterbox and I was
And a part of my 5 system thing is like, 4 and 4.5s can turn to 5s upon rewatches, but it's not few movies right off the gate will I give a 5 because I want to rewatch it. Because with Parasite at first, it was probably like I loved it. I loved it 100%. But then upon rewatch, it made me love it more and solidify like everything, my opinions about it.
Zero Dark Thirty.
I never saw it.
Oh, you didn't see Zero Dark Thirty?
No.
I guess someone's on American.
I'm sorry.
American Sniper?
I did.
Did you review it?
Uh-oh.
Or rate it?
Did I rate it?
Uh-oh.
Hold on, let's see.
Ryan, you know anything below a 4 is gonna is not patriotic.
People are gonna hate my review, like my rating for it. Oh, I gave it 2 stars.
2 stars?
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was like...
So, on par with Norbit.
No,
so
Norbit...
So you're saying a story about one of the greatest American heroes of our time... Is just the same as Eddie Murphy's Norbit?
Well, they fucking bullshit a lot of shit in the movie too.
Didn't he kill
in the
kid
movie?
Or
in the movie's kind of like your typical, just kind of like war movie. Not typical war movie.
Clint Eastwood, right?
Yeah, it's Clint Eastwood.
Hey, Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood does good work.
He pulled his support for Donald Trump and gave it to Mike Bloomberg.
And I gave Norbit one star, thank you very much.
Oh, I thought you gave it two.
No way.
So it's just, it's a little bit better than Norbit. All right.
Yeah. no, it's definitely like, better than Norbit, but Norbit is also like
Norbit's a good fuck. Did you okay? Mike Love.
I'm a huge fan of Norbit. Otherwise, and sorry, I'm a huge fan of Eddie Murphy. Otherwise, maybe Norbit would have been a half star. But I still think Eddie Murphy is an entertaining man to watch.
Eddie Murphy's fantastic. But let me show you something real quick. I might have told you this before. Okay, Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson, who is the lead singer of the Beach Boys,
okay,
has stated on record many times that his favorite movie is Norbit.
Huh, interesting.
So like when you watch Norbit, just be like, yeah, the Beach Boys, like the singer of the Beach Boys. Yeah.
I don't like when a part of me also feels a bit sad that I didn't keep the Letterboxd private and just like to myself.
I get that.
Because the moment
I think people really enjoy it though.
The moment I like made it public, there were like some messages where it's just like I won't get anyone on why they rated a movie a certain rating because that's their personal opinion.
That's the thing, it's an opinion. You can't get mad about it.
But like people started getting upset with me about.
Well, when we have Fantano on the podcast, you can talk to him about that because he's kind of the king of, because people would always attack him and shake for a rating he gave. And I disagree with a lot of Anthony Fantano's reviews.
Yeah. I mean, there's some like people like where like I'll see the review and I'm just like,
but it's his review.
I disagree with it, but like yeah. I can't change the
I'm
way
not gonna
they
get
saw
mad
the
about it.
Yeah.
It's just like their view. Let me read this real quick.
Of Norbit, his review of Norbit.
Interviewer says, have you seen any good movies lately? And Brian Wilson says, well, I've only seen one in the last couple of years. It's called Norbit by Eddie Murphy. How did you like it? Fantastic movie. Very funny. So what's your favorite movie? Norbit. Beach Boys.
His favorite movie's Norbit.
I fucking love it.
Terry Crews is in Norbit, isn't he?
Yeah. He plays the big, the older brother,
the brother,
right?
Yeah.
And I remember
maybe I hope we're not mixing.
No, because he's like
Michael,
he's like the construction
David, whatever
worker,
his
right?
name is. Michael, what's his name?
I'm pretty sure it's Terry Crews.
Yeah,
and
I think it's Terry Crews.
I don't remember a lot about that movie, but I do remember there's a part where he asks for the breasts of the chicken, and they put on his plate and just looks like tits. And I remember that part was always made me like, it's not a bad movie. It's not a horrible. I need to rewatch.
I mean, it's a bad movie.
It's a bad movie. Yes, but it's. It's kind of like a guilty pleasure. Norbit's a very lovable character. He's got a lot of heart to him.
I just like it. Just movies like that
it's like
are
a Forrest
so
Gump.
Early 2000s. And like Norbit is not going to be made today or it couldn't be financed today and released like, you know, it couldn't be a wide release, you know, and like for Eddie Murphy being behind it was just interesting. Especially with Meet Dave, but apparently he's coming back. Dude, I remember Norbit. I remember the water slide scene.
So what they did was, because Eddie Murphy plays the woman, right?
Uh-huh.
But they used an actually large woman to put his face over it. 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. But Google users said 91% liked this movie, while Rotten Tomatoes says 9%. Metacritic 27, IMDb 4 out of 10.
I mean, there are movies that like I believe like one can like that are bad, you know?
I mean, yeah, you can like any movie you want, you know? It's always your... Cuba Gooding Jr. is in Norbit?
Is what? He?
I forgot that... Cat Williams? That's a pretty big... Is the Nutty Professor just all, like, does Eddie Murphy just like dressing up as fat people? You know?
Oh my God, I can't believe. Dude, I'll go back and I'll like tweak things just because it's like, there's so much to keep track of. I was like, how have I not had Kangaroo Jack on my liked movies list?
It's not?
I just liked it.
I need, what?
Because in my head, I was like, I have to, like, I was thinking of like, oh yeah. Cause I went,
have you written a review for it or just rated
no.
it? That's deserving a review.
Maybe if I rewatch it,
I think,
but I think I'm just going to review. I'm not going to go back and review
what'd
all
you give
of
it?
This shit.
What'd you give it?
Oh, I mean, you're not going to like what I gave
you
it.
Give it two.
I think so. Hold on. It's definitely a two movie for me.
I can agree with a two on that one.
Okay. Like, yeah, I gave it two.
I don't believe it's worthy. Like, if we're talking about cinema, I don't believe it's worthy of anything higher than that. But two is...
my reviews are kind of like a mix of what I think of it as a film and what I felt while watching it. Like, because I can think something like, you know, you can look at something and objectively say that is well made, but then it just didn't click with you.
Yes.
And I feel like it's...
Like classical music, for example. I'm not a big fan of classical music. Mm-hmm. I've never liked it. But, like, it's beautiful, objectively. Yeah. It's, I think, to like the how intricate it is in the laws of music that go into it and how complicated it is. Like, objectively, you can say that it's very...
It's good music.
It's good, yeah. I don't like it, though. I don't find
so like if you were to rate like a classical album, you would kind of like if you thought like they were talented and they did everything good, the production's there, you wouldn't still give it just like a one star because you don't like classical music. I feel like if you were to rate a classical album, you'd still like have to be like, okay, I'd give it like a two or three.
Which is interesting, which makes me almost wish there was like a review system where you could review both, right?
Yeah.
Like how you felt about it, but then how
you see
it really is.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think it's best to kind of mix the two.
Yeah.
Because then it's a more personal kind of explanation of things. Because sometimes, you know, you don't like a movie and then you go and rewatch it and you'll be like, okay, that's why I didn't like it. Because when you're seeing a movie for the first time, you're just kind of taking in all this new information. Same with like Parasite. I remember the first time I watched it was crazy.
But then once you know it, you can come back.
And you can come back and be like, oh, that's interesting. Ooh, I like that.
I really, I wish there was like a letterbox for music. I'd love to do that. I've listened to him forever, but I've been listening to a lot of Homeshake recently because he, I've just been listening like through his album discography.
Yeah.
Because I've listened for.
I wonder why there isn't that for music.
Yeah.
And then if you could link your Spotify, like you could albums. Instantly play.
Oh, that'd be sick. Looks like we might have to make that. Don't steal our ideas, computer science majors.
This is the end of, I want this to be the end of the letterboxed conversation.
I'd prefer to keep going. I'm sorry.
Hey, but I review things like pretty much every week,
yeah,
multiple times usually. So
Ryan's been seeing hell of
it. I enjoy it. I think it's my favorite. I did review House.
We haven't talked about House.
Oh, we didn't.
House-u.
Do you know what I gave House?
What'd you give House?
What do you think I gave House?
Three.
I gave it four stars.
Four? You gave it a four? Good.
I loved it. Okay. So, Matt. Oh, no! I spilled a drink.
You spilled your fucking drink on the carpet of all places.
I know. So, Matt invited me to go see House because I've never seen it. And
on its original 35mm.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm cleaning while I'm talking. I never have seen it. And I don't know. I don't know what it is about my taste, but I usually don't like movies that are kind of trashy, campy. I guess like you think of like Evil Dead or Brain Dead. Like I think they're somewhat fun, but like I don't personally like them.
Yeah.
This one, I think it had this extra element, and the editing,
wild,
is not only wild, but just the editing of how they edited the scenes together is. I don't want to say genius, but
I would say it's
so ahead of its time comedically.
So
like where it's like you could be watching this and like I would think that this is a YouTube is like some dude who made a comedic YouTube video using an old horror movie. But it's its own movie.
For those who don't know, it's a Japanese horror movie from the 70s. It's not even really a horror movie. It's
a horror comedy.
It's a horror comedy, yeah. It's the acting and the editing.
But not like scary movie horror comedy. Horror comedy.
Well, there's breasts in it. I guess you could say it's a horror comedy. It's fantastic, though. It's on the Criterion Collection. I recommend everyone go watch it.
It is.
It's weird.
It is. I say it's so fucking good.
I'm glad.
I enjoyed it.
The Tucker Bros showed it to me back in like 2017.
You were sitting next to me. I was laughing a good bit.
Yeah, you were. And I was very...
Other people were laughing in the theater too much.
They were laughing a little bit too much. I agree. But I was very excited for you to see it because I didn't know what you would think. And at the end, you turned to me and you were like, I fucking love
that. Oh, yes! Dude.
I'm glad you liked it, man.
It was so good.
I have it on
good.
DVD.
It was so... I'm glad that was my first experience with it, too. I want to watch it again. Like, just because it's one of those things where, like, if if you're going to judge everything like it's like Citizen Kane, of course it's not, you're not going to think the story's there compared to, but like for me, like as a movie and what it showed, like it had a vision, and from what I could see, it executed that vision perfectly.
Can I be honest?
What?
I never really cared for Citizen Kane.
I don't like Citizen Kane. I think I gave it a very bad review.
It's just one of those movies where it's like, oh, this is the movie. And then I watched it and I'm like, yeah, maybe for like the 30s whenever it came out.
I'm like that even with
Rosebud.
Hold on, I'm going to look.
Like, it's not a bad movie, but it's
important.
I'm not interested in it. I don't have any interest. I watched it in high school and I was just like, okay.
I gave it 2.5 stars, so.
Okay.
I don't know, like.
But yet, Norbit.
It's a great movie. Like, Citizen Kane is great for, like, what it is. And it's just, like, one of those. Maybe it's the genre I'm not particularly keen to. There's a lot of movies I feel bad for not liking. I'll look up the general reviews and I'll be like, fuck, maybe I'm just. It could just because I'm not getting it and I'm stupid.
I don't want to piss off any film bros because I'm sure that by me saying Citizen Kane is boring, I raised the blood pressure of quite a few individuals out there. That's just my opinion of it. And, you know, it's a fine movie.
I don't think I'll ever watch it again unless I'm older and I'll be like, was it boring? And then I'll watch it and be like, yes.
I started watching a Song of the South.
Interesting watch, Matt. I've never seen it all the way through.
Well, it's locked up in Disney's vault, and one night I was at home, we were drinking, we were like talking about how ridiculous that movie is, and we're like, all right, let's see what this movie like really is about. So we put it on, watched about 45 minutes and turned it off. It's boring. It's really boring. It's like an actually just slow, boring movie with a lot of racism.
I find a lot of
racism.
Older movies, just when they're kind of getting their feet off the ground and stuff in terms of how they want cinema to be. I don't think I'm a fan of older movies too much. I'll watch them. Like there are a lot of older movies that I love. But that I think harkens more to the kind of Buster Keaton realm of older movies. Like I like
Keaton Jones.
No, Buster. You know who Buster Keaton is?
Yeah. You know who Keaton Jones is?
No. Sorry.
Remember the kid that got bullied and
no? Is it the kid online who got a bunch of celebrities?
Yeah, Keaton
Jones.
Is
that Keaton
Jones? Yeah, remember? He was like crying.
Is that Keaton
Jones? And everyone was making fun of him the way he looked.
Yeah. Is that Keaton Jones?
That's Keaton Jones, bro.
Is it?
Look up Keaton Jones, man.
Okay, I'm looking up Keaton Jones.
I don't know what that little dude's up to these days.
Oh, that Keaton Jones. I was thinking of the more recent guy.
That turned out he was like an adult and he's like flexing with like money and stuff and all those pictures.
I don't think it's a scam. I don't know.
Keaton.
I don't want to say anything.
Well, more like Skeeton Jones.
But what was I saying?
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you with Keaton Jones talk. Fuck. You were talking about... fucking hell, dude. You were talking about Buster Keaton era movies.
In terms of like old movies, like those movies are what impresses me because not only are they fun to watch, they're entertaining. They have a plot you can follow, blah, 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 but like technically it's impressive of like what he did. It's like that watching that is kind of like watching old school Jackass. And I know that that's weird. Like, oh, compare the Jackass stunts to Buster Keaton. But Buster Keaton was doing all this crazy shit for real. Like he could have died. He got seriously injured doing these stunts.
Three Stooges actually, I mean, not comparable, but Three Stooges,
is also entertaining.
Got really hurt on a lot of occasions, like broken ribs, but still kept shooting the same shot. Like I watched a compilation of like times they actually got hurt. And there's like one where he falls off a fucking ladder and like breaks his ribs, but like keeps going. And I'm like, damn. Song of the South. I think it's funny how, you know, Disney locked it away for obvious reasons. Yet it's one of their most popular rides is based on it and is still, cause I remember as a kid going on, Splash Mountain, and being like,
you, I don't know these characters.
Yeah, like, who are these characters?
Who's, and then you rabbit? See him in Song of the South.
And then also Zippity, like right when you walk into Disney, it's they play Zippity Doodah in the Magic Kingdom. And it's like, that's also from Song of the South. So it's like they locked it away, but they still, it was prominent at the parks. Interesting. They should remake Song of the South.
No.
Reparations version, you know?
Sorry, I'm just so. Do we even talk about the Oscars yet?
Is this the first podcast we've recorded since my ass surgery? Yes, it is.
Oh,
we haven't recorded a podcast in a while because we backlogged them because I was having surgery.
Okay.
My ass is better now. I'm all
real
good.
Quick. Hoorah for Parasite.
Yes.
Thank God.
Fucking well earned.
We were all ecstatic when that happened.
We jumped up. We were screaming.
Well, that's Super Mega's reaction to Bong Joon-ho.
What? This
I almost
year
called
from
him Bong Joon-ho.
Bunghole?
Bung.
What? From South Korea? What the hell was that?
Give me more Gone with the Wind.
We need Gone with the Wind. The first half of American History X. Great movies.
I don't
like
even
that.
Think Trump saw Parasite.
No, it's just
like, I don't even think he saw most of the movies that came out this year.
I don't think
year.
He watches movies. I highly doubt Trump watches movies. Unless they somewhat have to do with him, probably.
What's with the South Korean director coming in and making movies, huh?
Wait, what the hell is that?
Apparently he had a movie on Netflix. So he started becoming popular in the Western eye, both due to how fucking epic his movies are and in tone and how different and weird they are, and also through help of other directors' acclaim that are also American. That's weird.
My favorite part was just like, how about Gone with the Wind? And everyone's like, whoa!
You know, like most of those people probably have seen Gone with the Wind once in their elementary school, like class.
That's when I watched it, was when I was a little kid.
I remember.
It's like 3 hours, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's really long.
The only time I watched Sound of Music was in the music class. And I just don't take a liking to like Mary Poppins, Sound
no,
of
I,
Music
like,
type
chitty,
of shit.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Like, I'm yeah. not really into that shit. That
it's
shit's
not
just
my
like,
thing.
It's whimsical, yes, but it's not. It doesn't whim me away. I'm
but
not.
Like, here's the thing. I do enjoy Wizard of Oz. I like watching
Wizard of Oz. Is a lot more of a story, I think, than like Mary Poppins or something. It's, yeah. it's in a mystical land, and there's a talking lion and a tin man.
I was scared of that movie for a lot. I was like, the wizard. Is the lion scary? The tin man looks scary.
Tin man is freaky.
Then when you like the rumors of the munchkin who hung himself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's classic. Is the tin man like gay? Is that like confirmed?
I don't know.
Because for some reason, I just have this thing in my head like, it's always been like gay. The Tin Man's gay.
I always thought the Scarecrow would be more gay than the Tin
Man. Oh, you know why I think that? Because there was a Family Guy gag about it, about the Tin Man being gay. And I guess that just like worked its way deep into
maybe
my brain.
Maybe the actor was gay and Family Guy was just making fun of the gay actor. I don't know.
I could see Family Guy. I hope
his estate doesn't sue me. I am not gay. Well, he's dead. The guy who played the Tin Man. He's dead.
I searched Tin Man gay and a bunch of Korean videos came up.
I'm going to look up Scarecrow gay.
Oh, I'll look up Family Guy Tin Man. Because that should definitely get this up. Get the results I'm looking for.
I just got this. Monsters Made Me Gay. Scarecrow Gangbang. Hank Wilder.
Dude, yo, we need to read that if that's a book. Sorry, I'm just I'm going through a compilation of Family Guy, Wizard of Oz bits. I'm just trying to real quick. I didn't imagine this.
What?
The gay Tin Man thing. I can't find the clip online.
Was it not like Robot Chicken?
No, it was definitely Family Guy. I'm serious. Hold on. Jackson. We watched a lot of Family Guy because like it ends with like the Tin Man in bed with another man and he's like something, he says some line about being like well oiled or something. Hold on a second.
This is important.
Jackson,
can you come here real quick? I have a very important question to ask you.
Damn, dude, hour 17. Very important question. Hold on. I'm getting Jackson here to answer this. Jackson.
Yeah.
You've watched a lot of Family Guy as well. And
I dabble.
I remember a bit, a specific bit that I can't find any evidence on online. And I want you to know if you remember this too. It's a bit about the Tin Man being gay. And he's like in bed with a man and he makes a comment about like being well oiled or something.
That sounds so familiar.
Like, I didn't imagine that. No. People in the comments,
well,
please.
People always make jokes about the Tin Man was gay.
Okay.
It wasn't an original bit.
Wait. So,
I mean,
I looked up
Tin Man gay, but you couldn't find anything.
I thought he was, something deep rooted in my head was like, oh, the Tin Man.
The Mandela effect? Is this the Mandela effect?
They joke on Arrested Development too and like a few other things. Let me see.
Was the Tin Man gay?
Was the Tin Man gay in Family Guy?
It's about Tin Allen. Yeah, right here.
What?
Family Guy, Tin Man,
Maybe.
No, no. See, there's several Tin Man bits, and I watched a compilation of them, but none of them were the gay one. Let me Google it.
I can see
it,
how much Seth MacFarlane must love.
No, wait a minute. I can't call the police. I have to get rid of
Man in the Wild. Unlike consoles, Stadia doesn't take up any space.
Oh, this? There's no bed, but he just.
No, no, there's the well that is a gay Tin Man joke.
That's
there,
the one
there,
I remember.
There is one where he's in bed with like a guy.
Man, Ryan, I was just gonna imagine.
I'm positive.
So bad.
That's how you evolve. Like when the Tin Man found out he was gay.
I mean, that's the
that's not the bit.
But this is the one I remember. This is the classic Family Guy gay Tin Man bit from 9 years ago.
Bye.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.